Hey, my name is Ashka Patel, and you are listening to a podcast called Sustainability. This podcast series is made as part of my MA thesis project to test the Sustainable Journalism Guide proposed as part of the project. Today, we will be learning about mushrooms. From mushrooms being a conscientious being without a brain, to them literally eating plastics and taking their role as janitors way too seriously. Today's podcast will be all about mushrooms, knowing them and growing them. If you are curious about what, where, how, and why of mushrooms, maybe this podcast is for you. We have Nico Shuti with us today to educate us on the mystical world of mushrooms. They are the mushroom program coordinator at Cult of Action. Cult of Action is a solidarity co-op of urban farmers started at Concordia University. Nico explains what small farms are and how they are different from commercial farms. We did like to let you know that from the next clip onward, the sound quality may not be as clear, as the microphone stopped working during the recording. We hope you will continue listening. Quality of the content remains the same, even if the audio changes.
Farming should be localized. I think that there should be a lot of like small gardens that are producing like culturally sensitive, regionally sensitive plants, food, herbs, things like that, to feed into a more local economy, because right now we are operating under the capitalist international factory farm food system that is overproducing and is still underfeeding.
Nico explains the role of fungal systems in permaculture.
So a lot of people are already familiar with the seven layers of the forest in terms of permaculture, but I think there's an eighth layer that not many people are talking about when they're talking about permaculture, and that's fungus that is, you know, in the forest, that is already living underneath all of those systems, but then also incorporating that into whenever we are replicating a forest to have a permaculture food forest or something like that.
You might be wondering, what is permaculture? Permaculture is an agricultural system designed to mimic ecosystems for sustenance and efficiency. The core principle of permaculture are working with nature and its elements, creating diversity, minimizing waste, and practicing responsible use of resources that benefit the society and the environment. Now that we understand what permaculture is, let's understand the role of mushrooms, not only in permaculture, but in our gardens and farms.
So why have mushrooms? Well, first of all, mushrooms are the janitors of the world. If we did not have mushrooms, we would be living in our own feces and waste. And we really wouldn't even be here, because it is one of the building blocks of life as we know it here on Earth. So having the mushrooms in the forest are doing a very important job. They act as like a spongy source that transports water, nutrients, and the third thing that's much less studied is how it is used as kind of like a brain synapse, how like electric messages are being shot back and forth in between their hyphae connections throughout the mycelium. So that allows for trees to talk to one another, to develop a resistance to different, you know, not great funguses or bacterial disease, or a tree uphill can say, hey, tree from downhill, I'm really thirsty up here because all the water is, you know, falling down the hill. And the mycelium is a spongy resource that can then transport some of that water and nutrients up to the tree up top that's not receiving as much water as it needs. So it's kind of like a safety net of all life. It cleans up the things that we don't want. It turns it into nutrients that then the plants and the trees can use. So that's how it functions in the forest, and that's how it should also then function whenever we are recreating it as farmers, as gardeners, as permaculturalists. Don't forget the mushrooms. And it's a bonus, because if you have edible mushrooms, then you get to eat them. But even if you just have mycelium and it's not fruiting, then you are contributing to a very beneficial soil environment that nourishes the millions of invertebrates, bacteria, and otherwise, you know, bugs, worms, things like that. So it's a little bit of a no-brainer if you're doing permaculture, have the mushrooms there, because it will help with water retention, it will help with nutrient transport, and the cherry on top is that you get to eat the mushrooms. So it being there is very essential for the whole system to be functioning well.
When asked about the most interesting fact about the fungal system, Nico explains the philosophical importance of mushroom and how we as society can learn from this beautiful and massive system.
Something that's very interesting is that there is no individual, it is all collective. So from one mushroom spore, it starts its hyphae network and it grows radially, which I think is very interesting as well. Most things grow linear, we think of time as linear. The mushrooms kind of like transgress a lot of those binaries and boundaries that we think of. And so it's growing radially all around, trying to find nutrients and water and shade and a hospitable, you know, place to settle and grow. And while its hyphae strands are extending, if there's ever an inhospitable area that the hyphae is expanding to, it will then like kill off, it will abort that hyphae strand and continue growing in a place that's more fruitful. So it moves as one huge blob monster that has one brain, which I think is extremely fascinating. And one of the largest mycelium networks is like, I don't know, 5,000 miles long or something like that. There's a mycelium network under the Sahara Desert. Like, even in its dormancy, it's still working for like the good of it. And it's not in like an imperial or colonial way. Like, it's not suffocating or taking over anything. While it is spreading, it is only nourishing everything else that it's coming into contact with. So I think it's very interesting the way that it grows and the way that it makes decisions based on its overall health. There's no ego, there's no individual, and it grows together as long as the conditions are right. It can exponentially grow based on its decision-making that is always geared towards the betterment of the whole. It's always like future thinking, but it has no brain. So how does it know that? Like, it's just such an interesting way that it grows in an amazing, beautiful, nourishing way without any selfishness or ego. I don't know, a lot of the plagues of humanity, the mushrooms can teach us a lot of lessons of, yeah, how to not be that way. So I think that's one very interesting fact. Some people think, oh, it's just growing radially, what's the big deal? It's a huge deal because it transgresses a lot of, yeah, binaries and boundaries that keep us from expanding and taking care of each other. So I think the mushrooms set a really good standard and principle of that fact.
In a report published by the consumer consultancy Circana in 2023, it was reported that there has been a 20% increase in the sale of mushrooms in the grocery store in the last decade. Subsequently, the sale in specialty mushrooms have doubled. This popularity has not left the DIYers untouched. Mushroom growing is becoming a popular hobby. Nico explains how you can start your mushroom growing journey.
Because you start with the culture, you put it in water and honey to make a nutrient broth, then you take the nutrient broth and the liquid culture itself and put it onto grain. So that's grain spawn, it's the second stage. Then you mix in your grain spawn with your final substrate, which is typically like a grow bag of sawdust and wheat hulls, soybean hulls, things like that, gypsum powder, nutrients. Yeah, and then it grows there and then it gives you the mushrooms. I'm a huge proponent of YouTube school. You can learn anything on YouTube and it's free. It's absolutely amazing. So yeah, start watching YouTube videos, how to. There's a lot of online forums, of course, with any niche. One of my favorites is called Shroomery. It's like .org or .net, something like that. But if you look in Shroomery on your favorite search engine, you will find this, I wouldn't say primitive, but it's not a modern website. It's like 20 years old. So any, like, as you're starting to grow your own mushrooms, any roadblock that you can encounter, anything that you're confused about, you can go to this forum and some guy whose, you know, picture is like a wizard or something has asked this question 17 years ago, and someone whose photo is a lizard has answered and, you know, answered that question and solved that mushroom riddle. On YouTube, shout out to my Oklahomans, there's someone called Boomer Shroomer. they talk a lot about low-tech methods, DIY. Peter McCoy has a great book called Radical Mycology that tells you how to, like, you know, DIY a lot of this very expensive, high-tech, grow supplies.
Although mushrooms have been part of our diets for thousands of years, we are still discovering surprising facts about mushrooms. For more than a decade now, multiple studies have shown the ability of mushrooms to decompose plastic in a timely manner. One of the most widely studied mushroom, and please bear with me, I'm no scientist here, Pestotiopsis myosphoria, or commonly known as plastic-eating mushrooms. It was first discovered in the Amazon rainforest, and since then has shown promising results in speeding the degradation process. Nico shares their thought on mushroom being considered the solution for the plastic problem, which we are facing currently.
I'm also someone who is not one to romanticize nature. So while it's amazing that it can eat some of these plastic things, I'm not necessarily like putting all my eggs in one basket of, oh, well, the plastic eating mushrooms is gonna fix everything, right? I'm not sure it's a solution to everything. And I don't think that, you know, this janitor mushroom, we can keep consuming everything the same and then this janitor mushroom is gonna clean it all up magically. It's very exciting. I'm glad it's happening, and I hope that it can be used more mainstream, but also, I just don't think it's like the solution to everything. I think degrowth is still important in those types of solutions to having a better environment and a better relationship to plastics.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please feel free to share your feedback or comments on this story. That's all for today. You were listening to me, Ashka Patel, and Nico Shuti.